With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And the effect of that tax to determine whether or not it falls into one classification or another. We know, most of us, about Bruchhaber versus the Pollock source approach. And Bruchhaber toward the nature of the tax, of an income tax. And basically what we're going to do is examine those two different approaches today and try to obtain a little better understanding of how we decide now under Bruchhaber what is and is not a direct or an indirect tax, how to classify that. Because as Bruchhaber pointed out to us, that the fact that the 16th Amendment, whether it was adopted properly or not, but the fact that the 16th Amendment was proclaimed adopted and has been placed into effect does not mean that everything that is called an income tax is actually a tax on income. And not everything that is claimed to be a tax on income is an indirect tax. Just because it's claimed to be on income doesn't mean that it doesn't have the effect of a direct tax, and therefore would be reclassified as such and would be subjected to the rule of apportionment. We're going to talk about all of those aspects in just a few minutes here when we get back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
And welcome back. This is Tom Cryer. We have entered the live free zone, and we're going to have some fun here for the next 2 hours, covering a lot of ground, and particularly any ground that you are interested in. You can join us here on the show with your question or comment at 1-800-313. we want to do today, though, is in keeping with our initiated the I'm not going to call this a lesson, but a discussion of a particular tax subject at the initial part of the program. We're going to talk today about direct versus indirect taxes. The Constitution authorizes Congress to pass or to impose taxes, excises, imposts, and duties, all of which are indirect taxes. And then there in the Article 1, Section 9, there's a prohibition against imposing a direct tax unless it's apportioned to the states. Now, what in the world does that mean? Let's start with what an indirect tax is as opposed to a direct tax. An indirect tax is a tax on an activity, a privileged activity of some sort, that is internal. Duties and imposts are on foreign and international commerce and activities. And an excise tax is an indirect tax on the internal activities that are privileged. Under that, we talked about last week the fact that in order to tax an activity, there has to be the right to govern that activity. So if it's an activity of right, such as your freedom of speech or your right to vote, or your, in this particular instance, your right to earn a living through any lawful occupation, then that activity is outside the taxing authority. But let's talk in general about taxing activities as opposed to taxing person or property. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, I believe it is, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong on that, points out that any capitation or other direct tax must be apportioned, and the bill has to be sent to the state in that particular instance. Each state bearing its fair share based on the census and its population, the same way that the number of congressmen in the House of Representatives is doled out to the states, the tax burden on a direct tax would be doled out to the states. That would be a direct tax as if it's a capitation tax, meaning a tax per head. If you've got 10 people and it's a $10 tax, it's a $100 tax bill. And so that's per head. Now, also, other direct, what is that talking about? Other direct tax is any tax that is not indirect, any tax that is not on activity. So that would leave a tax on person or property. How do we know whether one is indirect or it's direct? And there you have to look at what are the characteristics of an indirect tax. One of the things about an indirect tax is that, first off, we've already mentioned that an indirect tax must be on a privileged activity, not one of right, because that would be exempt by definition. It would also have to be avoidable. It would have to be voluntary. Now, why is that? If a tax is on a particular activity, then the person who decides whether or not he owes that tax or will incur that tax is the individual who decides whether or not he is going to engage in that activity. We've talked about this before, a call or two, but it bears repeating. If there is a tax on tobacco or the consumption of tobacco, and that's a legitimate subject, let's say, of a of an excise tax under the constitutional definition of excising power, that would be up to me as to whether or not I owe that tax. If you don't use tobacco products, then you don't owe the tax. You make the final word over whether the tax is incurred by you is with you, not with the Congress. Now, with a direct tax, that would be just the opposite then. In other words, when Congress passes a tax and imposes it, if they could impose a direct tax, then you would owe that tax, whether you liked it or not, whether you chose to do anything or not, whether you didn't do anything or not. If it's a per capita tax, you have a head. I mean, that's not something you have a choice about. If it's a property tax and you own the property, then you are taxed. If they're taxing the ownership of property, or they're taxing the just the fact that you exist, that would be a direct tax, because you can't just decide, well, I'm not going to pay the tax even though I own the property, because that decision's already been made. You already own it. So an indirect tax has to be avoidable. Now, that makes all indirect taxes voluntary, and that makes all direct taxes mandatory. So if you look at that particular aspect of it, is it a tax that I can avoid by avoiding an activity that is being taxed? Then it is an indirect tax. If it is a tax on an activity, or what is called an activity, that I cannot avoid, then at that particular point, you have to examine the effect of that tax on you as a mandatory, unavoidable tax that you cannot pass on to the next fellow in some manner or way. Then you are looking at a direct tax situation, no matter what it calls itself. And that's why Bruce Shaver said that an income tax is in its nature an indirect tax. It also pointed out that, however, if the application of that tax should have the effect of being a direct tax, then we won't hesitate to require it to meet the rule of apportionment. Now, let's talk about something that might cover that. Let's put a tax on breathing. And some, you know, suggested to me that this whole idea about global warming, whether you agree with it or not, they seem to think that this is a way that they're going to try to find a way to tax our breathing air around us. But let's put a tax on breathing. Now, breathing is an activity, isn't it? It isn't property. It isn't your person. But can you avoid it? Is this something that you have the last word on? We do have a recent president who said that he could avoid inhaling, but I don't know if any of the rest of us could do that for very long. So is that really a mandatory tax on your remaining alive, the fact that you have a head and that you're breathing? Or is that a tax on a privileged activity? I would suggest to you that a tax on breathing would be a tax on being alive, and that in effect, regardless of whether it was called a tax on an activity or a tax on your person or property instead, that the effect of that would be to be taxing you for remaining alive, taxing you for being a member of your state or your community, for just being there, having a head, a capitation tax. And so since the effect of the tax would be to produce a mandatory tax on your existence, then it would be a direct tax and would require apportionment. Now, how does this apportionment work? We'll touch a little bit on that, and then we'll pick up on a couple of other points and move on. A brief lecture today. Apportionment is more of an assessment against the states than a tax that would be ongoing. It's a single-year, single-shot deal. The federal government decides, or federal Congress decides, how much money they need to raise with this direct tax. They then divide that amount up among the states and issue a bill to the states. Now, the states have got to pay for the bill. How do they do that? They turn around and they look at your pockets. They look at you. And we'll finish this thing up in just a few minutes right after this break. And then we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-313-9443.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
And welcome back to Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we're continuing on with our discussion of the direct versus indirect tax and what basically the differences are between them. And we've seen that, first off, indirect is on an activity, a privileged activity, not an activity of right, over which the government has the right to control or has a taxing authority under some other provision of the Constitution, such as the power to lay excises, which includes the manufacture, sale, and consumption of goods, the licensing of certain vocations, and the exercise of corporate privileges. But if we are talking about a direct tax, we're talking about a tax that is due regardless of whether you engage in an activity or not, or regardless of whether you elect to. And we're talking about, when we hit the break, how a direct tax works. The bill goes not to you, but to the state. The state then decides where to raise that money. And who better? Would you rather have your state legislator, who lives down the street from you, who you see at the barber shop, who you run into and perhaps even have lunch with after church, somebody that you run into at the grocery store who has to look you in the eye from time to time and all of his other neighbors in the eye? Or would you rather have a congressman or a senator who may not even live in your state? My congressman doesn't even live in the state of Louisiana. He lives in Virginia. So who do you think is going to be a better judge of what impact this bill is going to have and where it should best be, where they should raise the money and how they should raise the money to pay the bill? I would who has to answer to you, the guy who has to look you in the eye. That's who I would trust to make the right call. And so that's why direct taxes are billed the way that they are. Because the guy reaching into your pocket is not a distant ruler. He's not a remote representative. He's a representative who has to live under the same laws and live with the same taxes that he passes. And that is a fellow who the founding fathers felt was best qualified to make decisions that affected you. Now, is this consistent with the founding fathers' routine or their pattern in the way that they built our constitutional republic, our federal republic? Absolutely. Everything in this Constitution indicates a desire and reflects a desire on the part of the founding fathers to keep the federal government away from us, to make it do its job on international relations, to make it do its job on international trade, to keep the peace between the states by regulating interstate commerce, to handle matters of national defense. But when it comes down to regulating your life and telling you what you can or cannot do, and telling you what you must and must not pay, or getting its hand directly into your pocket, the founding fathers said no. If you want to reach your hand in, you want to tax my people directly, you have to come to me. You have to come to me for the money. You can't go touch my citizen. You can't reach in his pocket. You can't tell him what to do. You can't tell him what not to do. You stay away from my people. And that's the way the founding fathers built this country. And that's why, you know, in a very, very short time, on a span of the history of mankind, this country of ragtag rejects and misfits from all over the world sprang up and became the most powerful and the most prosperous and the most free country in the world. Now that we're losing that, we're also going to lose that edge that made us so great. And we're going to become a mediocre country right along with the rest, because we'll be too bound and gagged to excel, too bound and gagged to achieve. I believe we have a caller on. Want to bring him up. Don't want to have him waiting too long. We do have a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Andrew in Connecticut.
Yeah, how you doing?
How are you doing, Andrew?
Good. Enjoying what you're saying.
Well, thank you. And if we get chopped off here, I'll give you a chance to come back after the break. We'll finish
no problem.
Up. What have you got on?
Well, you were mentioning about how they're looking to tax our breathing.
Yeah.
Which basically means our existence. Let me throw this out at you. I would argue that the property tax is a tax on being alive, because all we are, we're born, right? We're born. We want to remain living on our birth soil, which we have a right to do. We have a right to live. We have a right to remain on our birth soil. Then we have a right to shelter. So we work hard, accumulate money, and we buy a house. And yet, by just those three acts, now, boom, you're now with the property tax for perpetuity, right? Forever. So, I mean, that to me is a tax on just being alive.
Right. Now, you're talking about really neither. It doesn't really matter from a federal standpoint as to whether they're taxing your being alive or taxing the fact that you have a head, a capitation tax, that's what that means, it's tax per head, or they're taxing your property. All of those would be direct. And directly taxing you, sending you the bill for any of them, would be prohibited under the Constitution.
But that would only apply if we're federal citizens, correct?
Well, no, that has nothing to do with it. We are citizens of the United States, and we're also citizens of the state in which we live. But and some of us are, I'm going to draw a distinction, some of us are nationals. But without getting into that, the nationals are subject really to more regulation than we are. By the federal government. But you need to distinguish between state government powers and federal government powers. They're different.
Is there anything to this denouncing your U.S. 14th Amendment U.S. citizenship and just reclaiming your...
Well, let's talk about that when we get back from the break. And you can join us here, Andrew and I, at 1-800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
And we're back here after the break on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We're talking to Andrew in Connecticut. And Andrew, you still with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You were about you were saying something about citizenship, the 14th Amendment, and whatnot. And I want you to back up and start with that again for us and
sure.
State your question.
Sure. Well, we were just talking about taxes and property taxes and trying to get to the root at, you know, me specifically, why I'm paying property taxes. And just, you know, listen to RBN over the years and starting to do some heavy research on my own. One thing I've been exploring recently is, do you try and do this, I don't know if it's called expatriation or some type of, UCC redemption? I guess the bottom line question is, you know, if we become state citizens, do we then alleviate ourselves from some of these taxes, I guess would be the question.
I'm not sure I understand your question, but, if we are a citizen or not a citizen, now we can renounce our citizenship. We can go abroad and renounce citizenship. At that particular point, we lose the benefits of being American citizens. You had mentioned the 14th earlier, but that was primarily to deal with the citizenship of those who were not freeborn in the state. Prior to that time, citizenship in the United States was defined by the state laws concerning citizenship. Following that, any statement of the United States as well. And that afforded those who were not freeborn, those who were born slaves, citizenship rights. And that's why that, and that's in keeping with the 14th Amendment's equal protection of the law protection. And that's what also applied many of the provisions of the Bill of Rights to the states as well as to the federal government for the first time. But as far as shirking or your the mantle of citizenship, say, in your state, because that's where your property taxes come from, is on your state and local government. The property taxes that are, in some cases, very, very oppressive are originate from the state government or from the local government, whether it be county or city or parish in my case. But those come from a sovereignty that's totally different from the federal sovereignty. I know I've pointed this out before, but I don't think that you can wear out the it's so important a point for people to understand. States are independent sovereignties, and they can do anything that isn't prohibited by their own constitution or by the United States Constitution. They exist and stand on their own. The federal government, on the other hand, is a limited sovereignty, and it can do only that which it's been authorized to do. Now, this sounds like a minor distinction, but it's a major one, because if they don't have it included in their list of authorizations, they cannot do it, not stay within the Constitution. On the other hand, the state, unless there's a prohibition against the states taking on regulation of a particular activity or taxing a particular asset, then that state can do that. So they do have the power to impose a direct tax. They do have that authority. And if somebody's got to have it, it ought to be your state representative instead of your congressman. Somebody who has to answer to you, somebody who has to live under the same laws that they pass.
I agree. The reason why the income tax doesn't bother me as much as the property taxes, the income tax to me is more of, you know, when you retire, you're not making money, you're not paying. There's no, you know, when you're working and you're paying taxes, at least there's a profit involved, right? You make $50,000, you pay $20 in taxes, you take
home. That's true, except for personal earnings. On personal earnings, they want you to pay taxes on 100% of your gross receipts. Now, if you're in business and you're buying and selling goods, and you pay goods, you mark them up 50% and sell them. Now, of course, you've got overhead and whatnot involved, but theoretically, on that broad brush picture, a third of what your gross receipts are would be income, profit. On the other hand, if you were working for the same guy that's buying and selling these goods, if I were working for you as your clerk, the IRS would contend that 100% of my gross receipts for the labor I'm selling you is profit. And that's where you run into a problem, because when you tax 100% of gross receipts, if I were to tax you for everything you sold your goods for, your gross receipts, I'd be taxing also your property, what you paid for those goods. I would be imposing a property tax on you, which is a direct tax, and I would be doing it directly without having to go through the states.
I don't want to say I'm pro IRS by any means. What I'm saying is, you know, that is more of a usage tax, where, you know, when you stop working or retire, you no longer have the burden of the income tax.
That's not correct. You do have the burden of income tax because
if you have income.
If you have something coming in.
Right.
But again, you've got to remember that not everything that comes in is income, and they're taxing it anyway. A lot of times, to where you have retirement benefits, take for example, somebody who works as a fireman, and he puts in his however many years, and he retires, and now he's receiving a retirement benefit. He's paying income tax on that, even though he earned it, even though that is part of the payment to him for his years of service and labor.
Right, and I didn't want to debate about one versus the other, but the property tax, you're not doing anything but living in your house. You're not collecting any money at all, yet you always have it attached to you.
So. Well, I understand what you're getting at.
That's a tax for just living.
All right, now that's where you need to get on. You know, you need to get up on your hind legs and organize your neighbors and try to get that point across to your state legislators.
Yeah,
that's a political issue. It's not a constitutional issue. It's not a legal issue. It's an issue of politics, and you need to get your voice up.
Yeah,
and let them know that hey, many states, for example, like mine, have an exemption for the first X number of dollars of a household. That's a political decision. It's not a constitutional decision, although I think it's protected in our state constitution.
Right. Well, I'm with you on that. I tried all that. Most people are just so ingrained, as you know. I mean, they like the quote unquote benefits. I might argue that it is a constitutional issue with regards to the Article 1, Section 4? Every state in the union shall have a Republican form of government. All right, so if you define what Republican means, it means the rules have to be fair for everybody. But when it becomes political, if you have a town where you've got, when it's basically run like a democracy, right, 60% of the households want to pay for school, so they force everyone to pay for it, and you don't have a choice, now we're no longer in a Republican form of government. Therefore, I would say that that's unconstitutional.
Well, I think maybe you need to look into the definition of a Republican form of government. A Republican form of government is one that is based upon representatives elected by the people.
To
ensure that the only laws that are made, the only laws to which they are subjected, are those laws to which they, through their representatives, consented. Now, that's your basic republic structure, as opposed to a democracy where every law would have to be voted on by the entire population.
That's a direct democracy.
That would be a democracy. Now, I don't know the difference between a direct and an indirect democracy. You either have a democracy or you have a republic.
What you described was direct, where everyone votes every time.
Right.
Typically, we don't have that. We do have representatives.
Well, and thank goodness, because generally those have not worked out too well.
Well, the thing that scares me to death is majority rules, and I thought that a Republican form of government was not supposed to be majority rules. There's supposed to be rules that were fair for everybody, not rules that were fair for just the majority. So I would subject that if household A is stealing from household B to pay for their own kids' education, we've got a problem, which is what the property tax does.
Household A, I mean, we could argue those if you like, but household A is benefiting from the children in other households receiving a decent education, although they have no children. I have no children myself.
So you're taking their side.
I have no children myself, but I benefit from having an educated society. I benefit from having people out here that know their rights and know how to function, know how to stand up and support themselves so I don't have to support them. I'm a beneficiary of a good education for everybody.
Hey, I won't argue about, a populist society being well-educated.
Yeah.
However, the issue is who has to pay for them.
Well,
and where do you draw the line? Wouldn't we benefit if everybody
had line, that line, Andrew, is drawn by your representatives. And so that's why I say this is a political issue. That you need to, if you disagree with the concept of taxation across the board on property in order to support schools, and do you believe, and I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but if you believe that only those who are sending children to school should have to pay for education, then you need to get out and voice that opinion. I'll give you the whole recipe for it. It's what Truth Attack is doing right now.
What is it called?
Truth Attack. Truthattack.org is an organization that I organized to
Truth Attack.
Provide a to go out and fight the beast without having to crawl inside the cave with it. And a way that they could fight the beast from outside the cave and to fight it with the truth. And instead of going in there, where the beast defines what's reality, and the beast says what's fair and what's foul, and the beast says who's in or safe and who's out, and the beast has a scoreboard under its control. Out here, we have control of all of those. We define reality. We define what's fair and what's foul ball. We say who's safe and out, and finally, we control the scoreboard. And that's why Truth Attack was formed, was because that issue is a political issue that has to be addressed, or it's a legal issue, it's a constitutional issue, but it's also a political issue, and that's a political solution. And that is to get out and express your views, and that's what we're doing. We're following the formula that everybody has ever followed to make change in society and in the law. Whether you talk about suffrage for women, or you're talking about abolition of slavery, or you're talking about the civil rights movement, it all started out with propounding the issue, which is where you are now. Mm-hmm. You just propounded the issue. Then the second is to stimulate public discussion. And then the third is that through public discussion, a consensus is formed. And then that consensus becomes public opinion, which the politicians then feel the pressure of. And then the politicians, your representatives, reflect that public opinion and their state legislators. Now, we've got one problem with that, and that is in our state level, our representatives have been bribed by federal money that was stolen from us. They're being bribed by federal money to disregard public opinion and to disregard the will of the people and to enact legislation as they've been told to, rather by the federal government, rather than by the will of their own people. But on the federal side, we've got that pressure applied directly to Congress. And that's why we're doing on Truth Attack. We have propounded the issue. Now we're trying to stimulate, we're trying to get to the public and get the public to talking about this, because once we've done that, we can formulate a consensus that will become public opinion, and then Congress will be pressed to reflect that public opinion. Although, you know, you are seeing now to where they're getting to be less and less responsive
to
public opinion.
I mean, the vast majority is against a lot of things that's been happening, and nothing's changed. So.
That's right. And but you also saw in the so-called immigration reform issue a while back that whenever they were trying to pull a fast one, and the public reacted so violently to it, not literally violently, but had such a major outcry and objection that they quickly pulled their horns in and backed off of it. And that is an indication that we still, they have not forgotten what the sound of a cracking whip is. And we just need to crack the whip more often. We need to remind them who the master is and who the servant is more often. We sit back and let them do it. We sit back and let them decide for us.
But when you live in it within a municipality's jurisdiction, I would subject to you that the legal relationship has the people who run town hall as the master and the people that live within the town paying taxes as the servant.
I'm sorry, say that again, Andrew.
I mean, the master-servant relationship I could see on a federal level that, you know, we the people, and we've created the
right. Government. We're the creator, and they are the creature.
But on a local level, the local municipalities, the property tax issue that outrages me, to me, that legal relationship is the people are the servants, and the people that run town hall and collect the taxes are the master, because you live within there. You live on their land, essentially.
Well, that's part of what you need to start helping us to reverse. This concept that they are the master and not the public servant.
But we'd have to change the legal relationship.
And you do that by cracking the whip. You do that exactly by what we're doing here and what you're doing today.
You got to scrap the...
You're getting on this program, yep. And you're raising and propounding the issue as to whether or not... not. Those who do not have children in school should pay for education. And you and I just gave two ways of looking at that, and that I'm looking at it as a person who doesn't have a child in school. I don't mind paying for education because I get something out of that. I get an educated society that is self-sufficient, self-supporting, and doesn't come digging into my pocket because they're too stupid
but that's
to hold
protection
a job.
Money. That sounds like protection money.
That sounds what?
Like protection money.
Everything's a trade-off.
I'd rather not pay for their school, and when they come knocking on my door trying to pickpocket me, meet them with the barrel of a shotgun. I'm not paying them protection money. I'd rather protect myself. But, you know what I mean? I'm not that blackmail.
I understand the feeling. I understand the feeling. But at the same time, whenever I go up to, I find somebody that can't make change at a counter, I think maybe we should have paid for that education. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes here on the Live Free Zone.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
We've got a few minutes here before the break at the top of the hour, and rather than bring a new caller on, I'm going to ask that the callers please be patient. I'm going to go on ahead and use this. Wouldn't be time to do you justice. I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. First off, I want to point out that every day in my email box, I get accounts of acts of terrorism committed by the Internal Revenue Service. And recently I got one that has just sent me over the top. I have a lady, I'm not going to name her. She's been very active in the tax honesty community, very bright, very well read. And This lady has a son who was injured in an accident and is disabled, severely disabled. Some terrible problems that this boy has. And as a result of the accident, a settlement, a small settlement, was achieved through an insurance company, and a court-ordered trust fund was set up for this boy. That's the only thing between this young man and total devastation of being, I guess, out in the street rummaging through dumpsters. He also gets a small stipend from his state to pay for his prescription medications. That would be a major burden without that. Now, this boy doesn't have a tax problem. This trust account was set up under court order in his mother's name, or with his mother as a signatory, but even she can't sign or spend it or use any of that money without court authority. So she's not under control. It's not her money, and she doesn't control that money. And yet, the Internal Revenue Service is now decided that they're going to take this young man's funds and devastate him financially because his mother, they claim, owes them taxes. They are seizing or in the process of seizing the young disabled man's account to satisfy the debt of his mother that they claim she owes, probably wrongfully, simply because she is the one who's standing responsible for the boy's money. Not only that, but they have garnished the boy's allowance from the state to help him pay his prescription medications. They've seized that as well. Now, I have to wonder, you know, who in the world could do such a thing? Who in the world would do such a thing? And the only conclusion that I can reach from that is that this organization has no soul. This organization has no heart. It has no mind. It has just got an insatiable appetite and a total lack of respect for people, a total lack of respect for anything except for the glee and the sadistic satisfaction it gets from carrying out acts of force against those who are not in a position to respond in kind. The most shameless form of bully, the most shameless form of heartless tyrant that I can imagine. And it makes me think back to the comment of a former Internal Revenue Service agent who said that the only organization in the world that can compare to the Internal Revenue Service in abuse of rights and on a sheer power of say-so over the government as well as the people is this rogue agency. The only one that can compare with that is the KGB in the former USSR. Now, we get back, we're going to talk to some of our guests, and you can go join us here on the show at 1-800-313-9443.
It's true.